This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan, down with the King topic of the day, and it's a twofer today. We started the show talking about the Super Bowl, and I think, BT, as we've had the conversation, in case you missed anything, check it out on the Free Odyssey app. Maybe for me it just comes down to, obviously we love the game, but the weeks in between, 2 weeks, the time in between, the fact that it's oversaturation with the meaningless, comments and quotes and, foof natured stuff from the Super Bowl media attention cravers down there. It's such a turnoff. Just get me into the game. It just doesn't feel like the way that it used to be. And I feel like because of that, there's a lack of buzz around this year's Super Bowl.
There is. Now, I'm excited for the game, but the other stuff is just, it's tiresome. It's overkill. It's uninteresting to me. And I'm not trying to ruin everybody else's enjoyment. Like, whatever you get out of the Super Bowl, that's that. God bless you, honestly. Like, I can't wait for the game. Mahomes is an old-timer. Obviously, the Eagles trying to crack through, get another one here. Yeah. So, the storyline, Sal, are very, very good and compelling. It's just the stuff around the game. I do admit that I've changed a little bit, and I think that you admit that you've changed just based 100%. On where we are in life with family and kids and stuff, but it's not really that because I still love the Knicks. I still love the Big East and St. John's and all the Yankees and Mets stuff.
And I am excited for the game.
Me too. But the NFL has just taken a turn where it's less interesting to me, and they need to find out why.
The quality of play, we've talked about that throughout the course of the year. I mean, that is different too, and the way that the sport, makes it easier for offenses. Call brought that up. I think it's a good point, too, that maybe takes away a little bit. But that's from the game aspect. To me, that's not what bothers me. What bothers me is the end of the season, it feels like, that Championship Sunday. Up until Championship Sunday, it's every week. 18 weeks, playoffs, wild card round, crazy. You talk about Mondays, Thursdays, Saturdays, whatever it may be. Then you go through wild card. You go through division. All right, down to two, Championship Sunday. And then there's the lull, the letdown, so much so that I schedule my surgery. Like, I purposely scheduled the eye surgery in February that week because I knew there wasn't any football that Sunday. Like, that's because you just know there's that lull there in between. Then when it does pick back up, it's a glorified exhibition that takes place in a, what do you call it?
Not a neutral site.
A neutral site, thank you. A neutral site. And it means the most. Like, that's how we judge most athletes and coaches and all this stuff. But it's just a weird feel where I don't know if they can move the game up. I don't know how that would be possible. Then they lose the attention. I don't even know if this is bad for the league. But for us as consumers of the sport, I think the 2 weeks in between or the week leading up to the game is more for everybody else, not us, the legitimate diehard sports fan.
Try to pull you in a little bit. And the other thing I said to Sal is, let's also be open about this and let's be fair. You know, the ride the Jets and the Giants have taken us on for a long time has just taken away from our overall football interest. I mean, and that plus the oversaturation with the Thursday games and tonight getting double headers on Mondays more and more frequently. Sunday, all day Sunday, London.
Yep.
You get to December, Saturday, Christmas. It's just, it's a lot.
Let it breathe, man. Yeah, but is it hurting the product?
I think it is. I think it is.
But do we have, we need to find, and I know we're not going to find this, I'm just saying, like, theoretically, we need to find out the information. I'm assuming that if they had information, like, the NBA's ratings are down, right?
Oh, my God,
right,
they're so, down, like, they're 35-36%
okay,
in some
right,
spots.
So they're going to have to figure out a way to fix that, because if the ratings continue to go down, mm-hmm. they're not going to get the TV contracts and all that stuff. I don't know whatever their thing is.
They're just not up for a while, well, so they're okay. not too concerned, so, but right, yeah, that's what
but
matters.
But eventually you want to
yes,
fix that.
Yes,
if the NFL started to show some metrics that are showing a decline, which I doubt right now, because again, gambling and all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
it's changed, it's evolved. We may not love it as much, but we still consume it. The masses consume it just as much, if not more now, and in different ways, sure, all the time, sure, but I don't think it's hurting the consumption of the product.
Not to the point where they've got to change their business model yet. And they've
yet.
Been, yet, yeah, that's the operative word, yet. And maybe, you know, maybe yet could be 5 years, could be 10 years, could be 2 years. I honestly don't know. You know, and then, you know, jumping through hoops. Oh, you know what? I want to watch this Thursday night game, but I'm going to go back and forth to say it's in September. I'm going to watch the Yanks and the Mets. Oh, wait, it's on Prime or whatever the hell it's on. You know what? I need the second remote. I'm not watching the Thursday night football game. Like, there's just, it's getting harder and harder to watch this, not to mention some other aspects that turn people off. But I do think that the direction that the league is going, they have been able to be, to lack creativity because they haven't been forced to change. Baseball was kind of forced to react.
Yeah.
The pace of the game and people complaining, the attendance dip and some of the other complaints that we long voiced about baseball, they at least tried to change things. And, I mean, I'm going to watch no matter what, but
right.
I think for the average fan, I think it's probably, you know, two pickoff attempts or the disengagement from the rubber, I should say, the pitch clock, whatever it might be. And I think that if the NFL does see some slippage with the ratings, they will probably have to address that as well. But to your point, until you see the slippage, they can just chill and say, we got you.
And we, as the diehard, passionate sports fans, obviously you listening, like we're the diehard sports fan in this group, we can sift through this nonsense and it could aggravate us and we get annoyed by it and just get us the game, but it's not for us. And that's what really drives me nuts, that everything that they're doing, the NFL, the extra games on Thursday and Sunday morning, it's not for the diehard fan, especially Super Bowl week and the halftime shows and the anthem nonsense and media day. It's not for us. It's for everybody else. It's for our wives and kids and, so, you know, like the ancillary or fringe fans.
Yeah, suck them in.
Yeah.
The incentive.
And it works. It works. Like, more people go, oh, this guy did this, and oh, he's dating that girl, and oh, did you see what he said, and he wore that funny hat, like all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is talked about by the non-football fan, which to me does take away from the actual game. It's like this whole build-up, big spectacle, neutral site, glorified exhibition, concerts, and this and that, and then the game that gets played in between just means the most in the sport, but it feels like secondary or third even.
You know what bothers me the most about the halftime shows? Now, I just don't get into it. Like,
yeah.
I love my music, and I love music, but I'm just not captivated watching, and I watch some of them. Some are better than others,
like,
whatever.
Did you see Beyoncé Christmas Day? Did the Christmas Day game?
I really don't even see it. You know, I see the reviews and stuff, and nothing yeah. against her. It's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the game. But anyway, the point is that, like, that's enough for, not a turnoff. I don't want to overstate it, but it's just not what I'm looking for. But what is a turnoff is now it's a longer wait to get to the third quarter because the show stretches out halftime.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Let's play football, man.
I get it. The other thing that we talked about, BT and Sal on the Fan, was St. John's big win for the Johnnies last night. BT, I know you're fired up about it. For me, I would have some concerns just watching this team now more so than I've ever watched them before with Patino and getting them back on the map and a huge win, obviously, at the Garden last night against Marquette. But the free throws would drive me nuts. The slow starts to this team. I'm not going to take away from the big story, which they're doing things that they haven't done in, you know, 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have concerns long term. I am, however, excited that St. John's are back. They're relevant. Big East tournament, UConn Friday night, NCAA tournament as well.
The buzz is back. It's absolutely palpable. Now, you're not wrong. Hey, listen, when this came up before, we'll get back to the calls here. Like, yeah, conventionally speaking, trying to win in college basketball in 2025, this is the exact opposite blueprint. So let me get this straight. You don't shoot free throws well, you don't shoot threes well, and you're expected to be, you know, 2, 3, 4 seed, win the regular season crown maybe, mess around, get a top 10, top 5 ranking, and maybe make a deep run? Well, yeah, because when you look at St. John's and how they play, Yeah, I prefer that they had another shooter or two, and it very well might knock them out if you miss too many free throws against the wrong team. I certainly give you that, but they are able to impose their will in a way that I didn't think was sustainable. Like, even when they were, like, 3-1 in the Big East, and I knew that they were good. Yep. Like, I knew on paper they were good. I watched them and obviously called some of their games in the non-conference stuff. I knew that they'd be good. I didn't think their defense, like, it's all-time good. Their defense is insane. And unless you get into the minutia of that, which I won't on the radio, but if you watch it, I think you know that, while it's not a conventional blueprint, this defense can stop anybody.
Yeah, and for me, I don't remember the last time I felt like St. John's can have a legitimate shot to win the Big East tournament. Forget the NCAA tournament for a second.
Yeah, let's start with that.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
True, I agree with you.
So we talked about it last year a little bit, and I remember you got me to the game, the first game that they played. Was it Seton Hall? Who did they play in that first game?
Seton Hall, yeah, they crushed them. Yeah.
Okay, we did the show at Stout before. It was a fun day.
Yeah.
Went in and checked it out. I love the Big East tournament. But as you know, for years when I would go in the mid-2000s on, St. John's was an afterthought, like never a real...
Played DePaul, the 8-9 game.
Exactly.
I mean, 12 noon with crickets there.
Didn't even register.
No.
Okay, so my thought was like, okay, let's see if they could get back to a spot where they can be a legitimate contender.
Correct.
In the Big East tournament.
Yeah.
And now they might very well be the best team in the Big East Conference, which
yes.
means they are more than legit mm-hmm. as far as the tournament goes. And then you could further it from there.
I think that's a good approach because yeah. the easy thing to do would be, and we could do it because I get it, fans are pumped up, but, you know, you start getting too nuts like, hey, you know, 2-seed, 3-seed, where are we
yeah.
going? Hey, enjoy what's in front of you. You know, I've got, you know, when you don't enjoy what's in front of you, and I get it, sometimes that just happens in life because life gets in the way, but when it's been this long, savor it. Try to yeah. find the balance of enjoying last night and still, yeah, I get it, partially looking ahead to UConn Friday.
I can't wait for that.
But enjoy
one.
It, man.
Yeah,
that's
no.
a national game, by the way.
Yeah, I know you were telling me
that's
before.
On Fox.
And 8 p.m. start, which is nice. I'll be home in yeah. time. Friday, Super Bowl week should be fun. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. You get back to your calls here, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guarantee lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Anthony's in the Bronx. We want to talk about the Super Bowl. What's up, Ant?
Hey, what's going on? You guys kind of stole my thunder, taking a couple of my points. But I wanted to say that I agree with BT about the halftime. I never understood why it had to. Like, that's the most annoying part to me. And I'm sure for the players, like, everybody tries to say that these guys are so routine. You're knocking them off of their routine. It's like mm-hmm. a half hour. You know, it's like pretty much picture you got a pitcher on the mound. He's pitching lights out, and then there's a rain delay for 45 minutes. Everybody knows that's not good. He's not going to come out. He's not, you know what I mean? He's not going to have the same type of – and I know that they're going to be revved up because it's a game, but if you – you know, I just feel like it throws it off. And also, I wanted to ask you if you heard about – if you seen what, like, Saquon Barkley said to Jameis Winston.
Yeah, we did see that.
Yeah,
we did touch on that, and thank you for the call, Anthony. You want to get into that now or you want to push
yeah,
that back?
Check it around for a second. It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, basically, Jameis was being one of those guys out there with the mic talking about Saquon.
He's good, though. I like Jameis Winston.
Hey, I'm a free agent. Where should I go? And then Saquon said, well, how about New York, the Giants, potentially? I guess there's some rumors swirling around that might be a possibility. I saw some of it on social media. I like Jameis Winston. I think he's a serviceable backup quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't want Jameis Winston with the Giants. They need to do bigger and better than that.
Yes, but I would be okay with Jameis. Are they taking somebody three? Are they taking Sanders? Do they get a quarterback at three? Like, if it's Jameis and no quarterback in round one, no. If it's Jameis and even though I don't love Sanders, I don't know. Yeah, I think he's going to be okay. I'm not sold yet, and I might not ever be sold. I think that he would be good for him. I think
okay.
he's got a great personality. It's infectious. I think he's more of a student of the game than people. I think people look at Jameis Winston, and because he's very out there, in a good way, very energetic, very affable, that I think some people perceive that to be somebody who's not really dialed in. And then you mix in, like with film and being
yep.
a diligent pro, then you mix in all the pick sixes. Like,
well,
oh.
that's my issue.
Well, no, I know.
Yeah.
But I think that there's not necessarily a correlation. Like, you can be a diligent student of the game and scour film and be all in, but still just maybe not have the best decision making. It's not because you're not trying. You just wired in a way that is whatever. That's okay to me. I have no problem with that.
Okay, but in your scenario, when I say you got to do bigger and better, they would be, in that case, with Shedeur Sanders. If Shedeur Sanders is here, I really don't care who the other quarterback is.
No, but you have to care who it is, Sal.
Here's why I don't, because I think that the recipe would be to have, like, it could be Jameis, it could be Sam Darnold, whatever, like Justin Fields, I guess, although in that scenario, you'd have more I think if you're going to get Justin Fields, you think he's more of your franchise quarterback as opposed to a stopgap.
Yeah.
I'm saying I don't care if it's Tyrod Taylor. You bring him back. If you have Shedeur Sanders, you know he's going to be the quarterback eventually, whether it's week 5, 8, 9, whatever it may be. You're going to have Shedeur Sanders is your guy. So to me, it's irrelevant as far as who the name is. You just have to trust them to bring in the best name to be a mentor.
Okay, and I would agree with that. I'm on the same page with that.
That's kind of my point
there. Gotcha.
But yeah, we didn't get into that. Let's get back to the Johnnies here, BT. Jake is in Breezy Point. What's up, Jake?
Hey.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
My dad was a season ticket holder. I'm a season ticket holder now. It's about my fourth or fifth year. I agree with you about the defense. I'm worried more about their depth. Like, last night, they only really played six guys.
Yeah. Well, the Dunlap injury hurts. Not that Brady was shooting the ball well before he went down.
That's a starting point guard?
No, that's Davon Smith, who's coming off the bench. Davon Smith is a kid who came from Utah.
Yet?
Oh, he's back. He's not starting yet. He's played a couple of games back. You remember he hurt his shoulder against Seton Hall.
Okay.
And he's so important, dude, because when he's playing, and this is why I still think there's more offensively for this team, not overstating it, they're never going to be an above-average shooting team. They're just not. But I think there's enough because what was missing without him was those easy buckets in transition, and he's not fully back yet. He's still rusty, but they are a little thin. I mean, in terms of depth, but how many college teams go like 9 with high caliber players?
Like, right.
I think if you utilize your timeouts properly and you stay healthy, which is key, and you avoid fouls, and that's the thing about St. John's, like their defense is so ferocious and they're so up in you and on you. But they don't commit fouls. Like, that's a skill. It's one thing to play hard and aggressively. It's another thing to do that and not commit cheap fouls, and they don't. So it's a little walk in the tightrope. I get you, Jake, but in a perfect world, they'd have one more serviceable body. I can't push back on that.
Eric is in the East Islip. What's up, Eric?
Hey, how you guys doing?
You?
I'm a big St. John's fan. I was in the Pep band during the late 80s and early 90s when they made that Elite Eight run.
Oh, with Ron. Okay,
they beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things I took out of last night, too, in Patino's press conference, how he was talking about the mental side of the game,
mm-hmm.
where he said that, you know, he's teaching them more to control the controllables and wipe out everything that's not in control, not in their control, like the referees, stuff like that, crowd. So I think the biggest part of their, you know, the big turnaround, too, is their mental side. And I'm wondering who their mental conditioning guy is. Because whoever it is, he's doing a great job.
I don't know. I don't know that they actually have a sports psychologist on staff. Matter of fact, to my knowledge, they don't. I know pro teams do. Of course, the nutritionists, trainers, all that other stuff. Clearly, academic support. I don't think they've got a psychologist. I think that what they did was, I think they just identified like-minded players. Now that it's year two for Rick Pitino, he knows what he's looking for more so than he did maybe year one when, remember, the lateral quickness, both from an athletic and a mental perspective.
Isn't that also, though, Patino's job?
Of course.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So, oh, like, yeah, 100%.
I know that other
I think
teams,
it's Rick. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right, exactly. I know that other teams could hire, you know, mental coaches or whatever, but when you've got Rick Pitino, that's the best part of him. Like, yeah, the X's and O's, sure. It's the mental aspect of it. That's the sell for me. You've heard him talk. You've had him on the pod. I listened to the Jets pod that you did with him.
Oh, did you catch up on that?
Yes, I did listen to it.
Nice.
So just getting some insight for him on how to build a winner. And obviously you've seen him do it at many stops throughout the course of his career. You've heard the stuff that he said. We've had him on our show when we interviewed him about bringing St. John's back. Like, he understands how to be successful. He's done it. He's learned. He's a proven, experienced veteran at this point. I wouldn't trust any mental coach more than I would Rick Pitino.
No, I agree. As a matter of fact, I'm going to see Rick in a couple hours. I'm going to go out there and shoot the Red Storm report. You know what? I know he projects young when he comes out in the suit. He looks like the Godfather. You know, he's still 72, and he says that. Like, he owns it. He gets
right.
it. Rick's not going to be doing this for 6 or 7 more years, I don't think. But this guy's passion for not only basketball, but for bringing back St. John's, like, it's personal. It's personal because when Rick was doing his thing at Kentucky and Louisville and even in Greece and probably even at Iona and certainly BU and all the other stops for Providence, like, he always had appreciation for St. John's because he grew up here and, like, he watched Louis coach and he knew some of the old names and all that. Rick has taken this so personally, maybe because Coach Karnisek is no longer with us, maybe because he knows this is his last job in sports in terms of a coach. Like, it is his mission to restore this school.
Yeah, and he's done a great job so far of already doing that. Now, I mean, there's many steps to go here.
Sure.
Sounds great now.
Yeah.
Friday night, UConn, Big East Tournament, all that stuff. Oh, before we even get to the Big East Tournament, the other games as well. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Ian Begley of SNY, get some insight to what the Knicks might be thinking here, what moves they could potentially make ahead of tomorrow's trade deadline. We'll do that, then we'll get back to your calls. But Begley coming up next, BT and Sal on the Fan. BT and Sal back on the Fan right now. We are joined by SNY's Ian Begley. Ian, of course, covers basketball with the Knicks, the Nets for SNY, and is their insider. Also, the show, The Putback, you can catch that out as well, the digital show for SNY.tv. Ian, where we before we get into the trades stuff, where are we at with OG's health here? Do you expect this to be a long-term thing for the Knicks? Where are we at with OG?
I don't think he's going to play before the All-Star break. I'd be surprised if he did. But to me, they dodged a bullet when that MRI came back and the diagnosis was the same, which was a mild foot sprain. Now, that area of the foot's tricky. I think you're going to let him rest as long as you can. But the idea that it wasn't a Lisfranc, it wasn't an Achilles, it wasn't something more complicated,
yep.
I really think they dodged a bullet there.
There's no doubt. When I saw that live, I'm like, that's it. That's the Achilles. I thought it was going to roll up like a lampshade. It was just scary. I mean, LeBron was holding him up. So, all things considered, the absolute best news for OG, I agree, but still disconcerting the way he got hurt. Like, generally healthy people in their prime just don't get hurt like that.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, his career, he's had injuries throughout his career. Yeah. Staying healthy has been an issue. And so, you know, Knicks make a big investment in a player who's incredibly talented, who delivers on both ends of the floor when he's healthy. But yeah, certainly these things pop up in February. It's something you're going to have to worry about, you know, through April, May, and however late you're playing into the spring.
Okay, so that is potentially awful news, certainly good, better news, but not amazing news. But let's get to some news that is also encouraging, but we'll see if it winds up being amazing if he stays healthy. Mitchell Robinson has gotten healthy. I mean, this is a roll of the dice, man. I know he's cleared, and he's ready to roll and start practicing, which means playing is right around the corner, but you don't know how the body's going to respond. He, like OG, is brittle and always banged up. So, you know, preemptively, do you make a trade just in case Mitchell Robinson gets hurt?
Yeah, and so the latest that I had heard there was, at least in terms of Mitchell Robinson, Knicks had not been talking to teams about him, as far as what I could gather yesterday. Now, as far as bringing somebody else in, they'll move Jericho Sims out. I don't think they'll bring a player back in there for Sims. It'll probably be draft picks of some kind. And then you're looking at, you know, a Valanciunas, an Alex Lynn. There are guys out there who you could bring in to kind of bridge the gap, but you're going to spend assets to bring these guys in for, what, a month or two while Mitch kind of gets his sea legs back? I would assume, because they seem to be settled on Mitch, that they don't go out and spend assets on one of these veteran bigs out there.
BT and Sal and the Fan, we're talking with SNY's insider Ian Begley. What about Durant? There was a report or some speculation that the Knicks might be interested in Durant. Is there any truth to that, as far as you know, Ian?
I mean, what team is not interested in Durant, first of all?
Yeah, I don't want him. There's nothing there.
Think, you know, any big move for the Knicks would not happen in season. And so, yeah, Durant, I mean, Golden State's right there, right? They've been turned down a few times by Phoenix in this trade period here, but I don't see the Knicks in there at all. And so I think you would cross both local teams off the list for that one.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised. I just wanted to get your expertise because I trust you more so than anybody else, which is why we appreciate you taking the time to join us today. I mean, a trade of that magnitude doesn't seem realistic for the Knicks at this particular point, nor do I think it was a good fit. So just back to Mitchell Robinson, assuming that the Knicks do keep him, what's next? Like, what are they looking for here? They're going to move on from Jericho Sims, fine. What can the Knicks add to fortify this roster as being a legitimate championship contender?
The one thing you're looking at is you're looking at getting a veteran in that 15th spot, because they'll have some money, some wiggle room between where they are now salary-wise and the second apron. I don't want to put people to sleep, but essentially they can't go above certain salary mark, and they'll have enough room to bring in a veteran the end of the roster. I would think TJ Warren has an edge there now, so maybe that's a guy you bring in, a wing who has been playing well in the G League, veteran. But as far as like a big name, significant addition, I can't see it. They had an interest in Gershon Gabuselli out in Philly, but seems to me that Philly would have a high price for Yabusele, number one. Number two, it seems like they're setting themselves up financially to be able to keep him around. So I don't see that move happening. So right now, it just seems like it might be a quiet Thursday afternoon for New York.
Let me ask you this. Me and Sal were kicking it around briefly. So listen, Doncic is obviously where he is, and AD is where he is. Let's say, and I don't understand why they didn't call the entire league and try to get a whole lot more than they got. I mean, there's obviously stuff going on behind the scenes. Clearly, they just had to get rid of him. But let's say Dallas would have called the Knicks. And let's say Ian Begley, instead of being a star on SNY, he's running the Knicks. And they said, all right, let's go. We want to bring back Brunson to Dallas straight up for Doncic. Would you have done that from a Knicks perspective? Just curious.
Straight up.
Yep.
Because you are changing everything.
I don't.
You're talking about Jalen Brunson because he started the thing. Straight up?
Yeah.
I might. That's tough, man.
Well, I said it's not that tough for me. I said no. It's not that tough for us.
Yeah, right. I think I would probably lean that way only because you're losing everything you've built if he goes out. He's the foundation. He started this thing swinging in the right direction. It would just, I think he'd ruin the locker room. But I will say this, if I was running the Knicks, I would give monthly press conferences to the team reporting.
That is true, man. They don't say anything.
What do you think they need? We're talking with Ian Begley of SNY. Of course, the insider there. Check out the Putback, the show for SNY.TV, the digital show they do a great job with. What do you think is lacking, Ian, from this Knicks team?
I think a big wing off the bench. Look, Miles McBride has been fantastic by and large. Last year, this year, he's making shots. So it's not a knock against Miles, but it's more so just the personnel in this league and what you're matching up with, even in team second units. I think you could use a bigger wing in that bench unit to solidify things. You know, Landry Shamet, he's gotten minutes here and there, hasn't shot it well of late. So yeah. I don't know if he's the guy, but they need somebody like that. Someone like that that can give you something on both ends of the floor that has a little bit of size.
Yeah. You know, I don't think there's too many answers, but I want to know what your answer is. Because anything you talk about, like what the Knicks might do, incorporated with what they've already done. In your opinion, like how long is this championship window in years? What do you think for this group?
I like, you know, Bridges, they're going to extend them, I would assume. And so you have OG several years. I'm looking at, you know, three seasons solid.
Yep.
This one and two more solidly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, who knows where things go. If things go sideways, obviously you blow everything up. But I do think three solid seasons. You know, the interesting thing to me is, like, you know, this league, there's always going to be a Kevin Durant, you know, floating around available. There's always going to be a top De'Aaron Fox. And so do the Knicks get to a point there where they're sitting there in an offseason where they didn't go where they wanted to go and say, hey, let's be aggressive here and go after player X? That's the one thing that I'm not sure of, but I do think everything stays the same. I think two solid seasons after this one.
It's funny. My number is three as well, including this one. So this and then two more. So the roster aside, you know, when that next star, superstar in between becomes available, yeah, I mean, maybe the Knicks are interested on some level, depending upon where they go. But I think, and I'm a fan, I'm not trying to turn this dirty here, Tom Thibodeau's got to win, man. Like, if Tom Thibodeau doesn't advance this team past where, and then we all think it's got to get past, he's not going to be coaching this team forever.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the first person to take the fall, right? When you don't meet expectations. He's signed an extension. I believe he's under contract for the next two seasons at least. And so, the one thing I would say there, and look, things change all the time, but I'll go back to this when Leon Rose, he's gotten the green light to do whatever he wanted from ownership in terms of making a coaching change, hasn't done it, has stuck with Thibodeau. And I was told that when it got really hairy, early 2 years ago, he wasn't going to fire Tibbs and maybe he was going to go down with the ship. So I'd only say that to say there's a loyalty there.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist in every franchise, in every front office. So I do think that factors in when you're talking about Tibbs' job, but certainly somebody would take the hit if they fail to live up to expectations. Maybe not this year, but I think next year people might start to get antsy.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you that question. In fact, if the Knicks don't get over the hump in the next couple of years, would they be looking to make a change there before breaking this thing up? I mean, look, Ian, I mean, if all the pieces are in place, like getting Mitchell Robinson back, and the Knicks are going to maybe make some smaller additions here, this is it. I mean, this is the team. Do you think that...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's good enough, led by Brunson, with the other scoring options that we have, assuming health, like assuming OG comes back healthy and Mitch, do you think that they can win an NBA title?
Currently constituted, I don't think so. But I also, just being honest in terms of where everything is, just because they may not make a move at the deadline by Thursday, I don't think this is the complete, full, final roster. And so I don't want to like suggest anything, but I do think that there was an appetite internally to make some more significant moves. Obviously there wasn't a consensus there, but I say that to say this, I don't think is the end all be all when we're talking about the next two seasons after this one. I think there could be some moving parts if needed.
Well, who would be the one to go?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not trying to get like, you know, don't need the insight. Yeah. I'm just saying like, if you do the math, it's not going to be Brunson. They just got Towns here. They traded a boatload for Bridges.
What are the wings?
They signed OG. I mean, we look at who would be the replacement that, or the big addition that they could make.
Well, I don't want to say big addition, but I would say the Mitchell Robinson piece is he becomes an expiry, right? Next year. And so the value there becomes higher, especially if he's coming off a run where he helped you in the postseason. So that's where, you know, you might be able to get something back. Miles McBride on a fantastic contract. That's where you might be able to get something back. I mean, if you're talking about moving one of the bigger names, we're talking about pie in the sky stuff, right? But, you know, I would think process of elimination,
gotcha.
It would be OG, but I'm not going there. I'm right. just saying they have the capital to still make moves, you know, significant move to get somebody off the bench. Like that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
When you're talking about Mitch and Miles McBride and Precious and those type of players.
That's interesting. All right, last thing for me, and I have not heard anybody really get into this. I'm very curious how you answer this. I think our audience will love it as well. So we obviously do a lot of Jet stuff. Woody Johnson, Woody's a mess, right? Well, for a long time, you know, the Knicks were the Jets. And James yep. Dolan took all the heat, and now things are better. Nobody mentions James Dolan's names. Is James Dolan doing anything different the last couple of years with the Knicks behind the scenes?
Just the one thing that I've heard, like, since Phil Jackson, right? He publicly said he was going to take a back seat, and he did. He, by and large, let Phil do what he wanted to do. And I think that's been the MO since then. Now, look. He cares, right? He's still, I think what his deal is he wants to know process and he wants to see that process produce results. And obviously the Knicks have done that under Leon Rose. So he has no reason to kind of fly off the handle about what's going on the basketball court, but he still cares and he still wants to see results. Maybe he's less involved in the day-to-day, certainly less involved in the basketball decisions. I think that's changed, but the care factor, the pressure that's on the Knicks and Rangers to win, that hasn't dissipated.
How about last one from me, Ian? BT mentioned it before about Luka. You talked to a lot of people, you know, interleague circles and all that stuff. Is there a different side to this Luka Doncic trade that maybe we aren't understanding? Did the Mavs, in fact, reach out to other teams? Did they just identify Anthony Davis? Can you add any more insight as to what you've heard about the trade that seemed to, you know, shock the basketball world?
I think it's a combination of them owing him that he was going to be up for that monster extension. And, you know, they obviously didn't want to commit to that. So they got ahead of
him. Why? He's one of the top five players in the NBA.
Their thing is, I don't know how much this has been reported. I don't know. They've talked about the conditioning. Part of it was, though, like, as you continue to put miles on those tires and with the shape that he's in, I think there was a concern about how he would age. Not saying he's going to be, he would be 31, I think, at the end of that extension, but just the concern about his body, the miles, the way he takes care of his body, how it would look towards the end. I think that was part of the concern. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I'm saying those are kind of the whispers coming out of Dallas. And I think that they also wondered if he wanted to be there long term, rightly or wrongly. I think there was some question about that. Look, I would call the league if I was trying to trade Luka Doncic. I would not have limited it to one team. It kind of reminds me of the Porzingis deal a few years ago. But clearly, Dallas had their eyes on Anthony Davis. Right or wrong, we're going to find out, right? I don't think it was right. Nobody thinks it was right, but let's see how it plays out.
Thanks for your time, Ian. We appreciate the insight.
Thank you, fellas. You guys have a good day.
All right, there you go. Ian Begley, SNY Insider. Check out the putback on SNY.tv. He does a great job. One of the more trusted basketball insiders in this town. All right, BT, we'll come back. We'll dissect that a little bit. We'll get into the calls as well. 888-808-1019, whatever's on your mind on this Wednesday here. St. John's, the Knicks, the Super Bowl. We can even revisit some of the baseball stuff that we had from yesterday. Also, we got to get to the Dimitrov stuff where we didn't really have a chance to elaborate on that yesterday when we had him on. So we'll talk about that. And the Jets did make some moves today as well. So we can talk about that when we come back. BT it's out back on the fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. I was just out in the newsroom, BT, and I ran into Loogie. And he brought up a good point that I thought. A rare good point from Loogie.
Okay. By the way.
You know, Hoff is out sick again for the second straight day.
Yes.
He was out yesterday. We questioned how sick he was. You guys are making, this is off of both you and Hoff making fun of me for having eye surgery.
Okay.
Still plowing through, by the way. Not 100% on either eye.
Uh-huh.
Can't wait to get the next one done. Anyway, so yesterday we were questioning, is Hoff really sick? A little bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie. And you said yes. I was like, yeah, I'm not so sure. Hoff out again today. So obviously dealing with some sounds like crap, banged up. But Loogie brought it to my attention that Hoff took part in the Rico Bronya podcast taping last night.
Mm.
And was active on social media as well.
Mm.
Do you maybe change your answer on that from last night?
Okay.
I mean, if Loogie's noticing it.
Well, how was it? How did Loogie approach you?
He came to me and said,
can, hey, can I present the two options?
Yes, yeah, go ahead.
Was it like, hey, how was Hoff feeling, man? I'm worried about him. But then I heard him on, you know, doing some other work. Or, hey, by the way, man, I don't know if Hoff is all in with you guys. I heard him on the Rico last night and tweeting away.
Which way do you think it was presented?
I think it was more the way to take a shot at Hoffman. So I'm thinking it was more
it was like
starting trouble. How did he present it?
It was more like, oh, was Hoff another sick day today? I did see him on the Rico last night, though.
Not a good look. Do you agree?
I'm just saying.
Do you agree?
Yes.
Do you agree?
If you're sick, you're sick.
I mean, I love the guy.
Go back and check my social media when I was out with the eye surgery.
Well, now we're going to have to do some digging here for our guy Hoff.
And it's just Loogie trying to, you know, create a little...
He's got enough problems on that show, so he's mind his own business. I think they want to eat each other every day or kill each other, those four
guys. I think Hoff and Loogie, there's a little bit of... Oh. You know, there's an issue between those two.
Really?
I guess. I mean, I didn't go out there and say, Loogie, what's up with Hoff? He came to me. I said, Loogie, I was talking to him, and he said, where's Hoff? Another sick day?
He really came and proactively said that? He started trouble.
We're talking about the Mets or whatever out there, and then he brought it up,
All right. Now, I'm going to always have my guy Hoffman's back.
Yeah.
I am. I'm going to have his back here, but I am on his Twitter account.
Dope Cole's BS on that. Okay, go ahead.
No, I am.
He was active last night on social media.
He tweeted an hour ago about the Super Bowl.
Okay.
He tweeted 12 hours ago. This was when he and he's missed 2 days of work here.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll be back tomorrow. We said.
We think. Yeah. 12 hours
he
ago.
He better be back by Friday, dressed as Papa Shango. That's all
true.
I care about. Take your time, rest up.
Yes.
Just come back Friday.
Good call. I almost forgot about that. Jeez, that's coming up.
I'm gonna look like such BT.
Such an idiot. Yeah. All right. So then he tweeted 12 hours ago. The Rico. And another 12 hours ago, the Rico. Then another 12 hours ago, promoting the Rico. Then another 15 hours ago, promoting the Rico. Then 15 hours ago, subtweeting something called the Direct about the Fantastic Four. I have no idea what it is.
He's active.
And then something 16 hours ago, Turtle, my boy Turtle, and a furry from Entourage.
Your boy or Hoff's boy?
No, no. I mean, they might be boys, but I've been friends with Jerry forever.
Did he say your boy?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, his boy. I think it's just a picture of Jerry.
You were saying, I'm not a fan.
Jerry Farr?
Yeah.
Why?
Come on. Turtle.
Oh, dude.
Come on.
Don't make me do this.
Oh, Mr. Nick. Yeah, Mr. Nick.
I didn't say
Turtle.
It was Mr. Nick.
No,
I just said
you.
Jerry.
I don't have any issue with you and Turtle.
Oh, I appreciate you letting me have the friends that I decide to be friends with.
I'm
very noble of you.
I didn't know, Sir Sal. I know you're friends with him.
I'm good friends with him.
I'm not a Turtle guy. It's
really?
Yeah.
I got to get back to that in a second,
on the show was Sal. Anyway, go ahead.
I can't let him get off the hook here. All right, more from him 19 hours ago. More, I mean, he's tweeted 20 times since he's been off since he's been off. Now, I would never rat him out like that. You're the one who brought it to the air.
I mean, Loogie brought it to me.
Well, Loogie brought it to you. You brought it to the air.
I'm just
reacting. All right, so I would personally lay out. What about you?
I told you. I had eye surgery.
You got to lay out.
And I was being made fun of, and I didn't say anything. I didn't tweet anything. Couldn't hear from me. Didn't call the radio station, nothing. I'm just saying. BT and Sal on the fan. Yesterday we talked about...
What a troublemaker you are, dude.
Yesterday we talked about... Rest up, Hoff. Feel better.
You're going to be sprinting here now.
Yesterday we talked about Pete Alonso. Jason and Mount Kisco wanted to chime in on that. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call. Really love the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jay.
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely. So, given that pitchers and catchers are reporting in about a week, and Alonso is still not signed by the Mets or anybody else for that matter, and given that he is one of Boris's clients, I got to ask, what do you guys think the likelihood is that he turns into Boris's other client, Michael Conforto, does not get signed by anyone this year and spends the season on the outside looking in?
I mean, I'd be surprised, and thank you for the call, Jason. We did bring up Conforto yesterday, though.
We did.
Because I knew Jason was going to talk about that, I brought up Conforto's numbers here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, I thought Conforto was going to be a 320 hitter, 25-plus home runs, maybe even more, and be an impact bat. He turned down the big offer from the Mets, who I also believe that they thought he was going to. I mean, the guy was an all-star.
What was his best year with the Mets? 26 home runs? That sound right? I don't even have it in front of me.
He had 33 and 92.
He had that many?
Yeah.
33?
In 2019, he had 33 homers and 92 runs.
What did he hit? What was his OPS? Eight change? Low eights?
856.
Oh, that's a big season,
the
man.
The following year.
He was young, too.
2020 was a pandemic year. He had a good OPS that year, but that was a pandemic year. And okay. Nine homers. Yeah, in the pandemic year, an OPS of .927, 9 homers and 31 ribbies.
In how many games?
54 games.
Okay, so 54.
And he hit .320.
So that's on pace, .918, .270. He's on pace for about 30 home runs right. again.
And he hit .322. So wow. Like, that was the big year. And then the following year is when he fell off. Contract year, he was awful. He had 14 homers, 55 ribbies. He had .232. In 125 games, he got hurt.
That his shoulder
was
or
out
no?
the following year, I believe so. Then he signed down with the Giants. 15 homers and 58 ribbies, and he hit .239.
It's a tough ballpark to hit in.
In 125 games, and 130 games last year, a little bit better. 20-66, .237, dude.
He was
Michael Conforto hitting .237. I mean, that is.
I liked him. I saw a little Mattingly in his swing. I remember looking at those side by side, frame by frame.
He was good in the postseason in 2015 when he first came up.
I always liked him.
I loved Conforto. Point is. I think Pete can go the way of Conforto. I think he's going to find a team.
There's no way.
No,
meaning like we get to opening day and Pete Alonso's not on a roster?
No, meaning his career could go from thinking he's going to be something to kind of falling off and not being anything what he was his peak with the Mets.
That still surprised me. Yeah. I still think Pete's going to be a power guy. The average very well might be. It probably is what it is. He's going to hit bombs.
BT and Sal on the fan. When we come back, we'll talk some Jets. They made some moves today. We'll get our thoughts on that. Plus your calls, 888-808-1019.
He's going to hit bombs. I just don't know where.
Yeah.
That's right. The problem.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.